and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup. And of course, the top story this week is the continuing turmoil at Netflix over Dave Chappelle's transphobic special. Lesbian comedian Hannah Gadsby slammed the co-CEO Ted Sarandos this week for dragging her into it. A trans employee got fired, and a staff walkout is scheduled today to demand major changes.
And all this transphobia has real-world consequences. This week, Texas advanced a particularly egregious bill targeting trans youth in sports.
And the governor is about to sign it. 4 stars for new Admiral Rachel Levine at the Health Department in Washington.
We're going to remember Colin Powell's role in keeping gays out of the military and some other things that don't get mentioned too much on mainstream television.
Exactly. And 3 more trans people have been murdered in the U.S. this week.
In New York, a lesbian cop has killed the lover of her ex-lover and wounded her ex.
Terrible story. But good news, finally, a breakthrough for gay couples in Namibia, but there's a setback for trans women in Kuwait.
Daniel Craig is doing interviews about his new movie, and in the course of that, he explained his affection for gay bars.
And maybe gay men. Billy Porter is not happy with Harry Styles. There's a little fight going on there. We'll talk about that.
So Netflix, you know, I watched the Dave Chappelle special. Did you catch up with that, Anne?
No, and I have no intention of doing so, at least not immediately.
I understand. So I watched so you didn't have to. And, you know, it was extremely transphobic. And yet it was being defended by the brass at Netflix. And one of their ways of doing it was to say, oh, well, you know, we have lots of LGBTQ content on our site, including Hannah Gadsby. So Hannah Gadsby, who's Nanette and Douglas routines on Netflix, really made her an international star, took on the CEO, Ted Sarandos, who had cited them, you know, saying we're working hard to engage marginalized communities. So Gadsby shot back, "Hey, Ted Sarandos, just a quick note," this was a tweet, "to let you know that I would prefer you don't drag my name into this mess. Now I have to deal with even more of the hate and anger that Dave Chappelle's fans like to unleash on me every time Dave gets $20 million to process his emotionally stunted partial worldview. You don't pay me nearly enough to deal with the real world consequences of hate speech, dog whistling you refuse to acknowledge, Ted." Then she says, "F you and your amoral algorithm cult. I do," I'll use the word craps, that's not the word she used, "with more backbone than you. That's just a joke," she said. "I definitely didn't cross a line because you just told the world there isn't one."
Yeah, I thought that was rather sly of her to say just a joke, because that's really what he's been saying about Chappelle all along.
Brilliant tirade.
Well, you know, it's very offensive that he has said repeatedly that content does not create real-world consequences or harm, when, in fact, week after week after week, we're here talking about the harm to trans people, in particular LGBTQ people in general, caused by this kind of discourse in the public realm. It's just certainly intellectually indefensible, but aggressively ignorant.
So there's been an uproar among the employees. Now, we told you that a trans employee had been who had protested was fired.
And no, suspended.
Suspended, but that trans employee was brought back. We'll get to all this. But she was, they kept saying she wasn't disciplined for dissent. It was crashing an executive committee meeting. Then they found out it was okay. This woman is named Tara Field. And, you know, by the way, they've never corrected the rather egregious error in the Chappelle thing where he goes, I'm no fan of Caitlyn Jenner, but he mocked her for being given the Woman of the Year award at the ESPYs in 2015. Well, she got the Arthur Ashe Courage Award right after she came out. And coming out as transgender does take courage in a world where trans people face such discrimination and violence.
And especially when you are someone who had the prominence and fame that she did as an Olympic hero.
Right.
That is quite a risk. We have many, many, many arguments with Caitlyn Jenner, politically and otherwise, but we certainly understood at the time her courage in coming out.
So the trans employees staged a walkout today, and they call themselves Team Trans, in contrast to Dave Chappelle's I'm on Team Turf, which means Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminists, which he laboriously explained to his audience. So they have a list of demands, and it does not include getting rid of Chappelle off the platform. It says they want investment in trans content, employee safety and relations, harm reduction, and they want to avoid future instances of platforming transphobia and hate speech. They want investment in trans content comparable to the investment in transphobic content, which in the case of Chappelle, as we all know now, is $20 million. And that figure was obtained because an employee leaked it. She got fired.
I think that employee is actually self-describes as non-binary and uses they pronouns and is in fact trans and pregnant and was fired. They say they leaked it only to some fellow employees, and from there it was leaked publicly. So that's one of their complaints about being fired.
The co-CEO Sarandos now says, oh, I screwed up. I should have handled this differently. I should have been more aware of, you know, humanity of people, blah, 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 blah. So Lily Wachowski, the creator of the Netflix series Sense8, tweeted support for trans employee Tara Field. There's now a Stand Up in Solidarity rally in Hollywood that's going to screen a PSA with a lot of LGBTQ celebrities, including Jonathan Van Ness, Alexandra Billings, Sarah Ramirez, Colton Haynes, Angelica Ross, and others.
They also, one of the other demands the employees are making is that there be warning labels put on transphobic material or presumably other discriminatory material. That, I think, is a very interesting and easy demand for them to accommodate, but is really going to put a damper on this material. If producers understand that they have to have a warning label on their material as being discriminatory, that may give them pause about what they're producing.
I think one of the demands should be, if they keep the Chappelle thing up, is, for instance, that Woman of the Year thing, which is a lie, and just put under it, that's not true. Caitlyn Jenner did not get that award. You got the Arthur Ashe, you know, because that might make an impression on a lot of people.
And that lie is an attempt to really undermine Caitlyn Jenner and trans people in general by accusing them of being anti-woman, by stealing an award meant for women that she would otherwise not be qualified for. It's very insidious, this lie.
It's hateful. And should we move to Texas?
Well, hold on a second. I just want to say that the other co-CEO and creator of Netflix, Reed Hastings, was asked about all of this. He is refusing to comment completely.
He said, I'm here to talk about my philanthropy. I'm not answering these questions.
Yeah. So I think that's, just to be clear, three trans employees were accused of crashing a meeting, which they had been given the invitation to, and were suspended. Then they were reinstated off of that. But this other trans employee was accused of releasing financial information about Chappelle's special and was fired. Again, not, they say, because of any, transphobia, but because you don't leak company information. And they say, I didn't. I just shared it with a couple of other company employees. They leaked it.
All right.
Texas.
Well, we talk about these anti-trans bills, especially in the area of sports, with school sports, and they're all terrible. But this is, I think, the worst. The House and the Senate have passed a bill to ban trans students from participating in K-12 athletic teams, boys and girls. You have to go back to your birth certificate at or near the time of your birth. So currently they already have a regulation that says, if your birth certificate is changed, that's fine. You can participate. Now they're saying that's no good anymore. It's got to be the one from, 20 years ago or 17 years ago or whatever. It really is over the top. Where is this going? I mean, in fact, parents are speaking out of trans children. They're saying it's a living nightmare for their families. Some of them are moving out of the state to get away from this atmosphere, this relentless anti-transgender atmosphere. We're moving to Colorado. We're getting out of here. If you can, that's what they're doing.
Well, there have been massive protests at the state capitol for months now. There's a really beautiful one that took place about a month ago. There have been endless hearings there. It has taken them four attempts in the legislature to pass this bill through the House because it kept getting rejected. And they had to finally create a new committee to pass it. And then the Senate passed it, too. And now we're expecting the governor to sign it any minute. He has promised to sign it.
The vote in the House was 76-54, ultimately. The Senate used to pass it easily every year, and it was 19-12 in the Senate.
And as Andy said, when they do, the Sports Association in Texas says that you must participate in sports by your birth certificate. So we figure, okay, if you've had your birth certificate changed, then you're good to go with whatever your current gender identity is. But this bill is so evil and so nasty that they said, no, we're going to go back to your original birth certificate. We don't care if you've changed it.
That's going to be hard to track down because there's no indication on a changed birth certificate that it is a changed birth certificate. It's just a birth certificate.
Yeah, but clearly they're targeting particular people as they come along. They read them, and they will investigate. So here is a young trans person testifying to a committee of the legislature about how terrible this is.
I have one question for y'all before I start. Why in the hell are y'all doing this? There is no point. I am a student athlete, been for... since middle school. Came out freshman year. I did wrestling, I did marching band. I've had to submit my medical records to UIL to wrestle because of my testosterone. Imagine the harassment I had to have walking into the girls' locker room. I have had permanent injuries because I am trans and was on the girls' team. I have had matches thrown in my face and I have lost. And purposely injured. I still suffer from those injuries to this day. High school sports is a part of being in school. Sports is the main thing. That's the only reason I graduated high school and actually survived. The teamwork, the things that everybody's talking about, it is part of it. But y'all don't look at the harm that the sports and this bill is causing to all of us.
And that's Eli. And Eli wants to compete with other boys, but... now can't, and they're going to have all these testosterone level, checks and things like that. It is absolutely madness.
Terrible.
All right. Some other issues from around the country. In California, remember Frank Schubert, who was the anti-gay right-winger behind Proposition 8? He's supporting a lesbian for Attorney General of California. His sister, who's a right-wing Republican, and Marie Schubert, she's running a law and order campaign.
Well, let me give you a little better, back to trans in high school, a little better story. In Burlington, Vermont, at the high school there, they decided that for the halftime show at a football game there, they would have a drag show. And all the young men dressed up in drag and the girls in drag, and everybody paraded around, had a great time. The fans loved it. The teams loved it. It all worked out great. And this is the kind of thing that can lower the temperature around these issues somewhat. Absolutely. So congratulations to Burlington High School.
Let's get to some national news. The United States has regained its seat on the UN Human Rights Council 3 years after the Trump administration took us out of it. We had to win election to this. We're being brought in with Argentina, Benin, Cameroon, Eritrea, Finland, Gambia, Honduras, India, Kazakhstan, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malaysia. It goes on. This is a 47 group thing, which actually is weighted towards pro-LGBTQ. And our UN ambassador, Linda Thompson Greenfield, there she is, says LGBTQ rights will continue to be a focus of this.
Yeah, you know, the right wing doesn't want us on the council because they claim it's full of commie, lefty, human rights abusers. And the fact is,
as if they care.
We're human rights abusers. Everybody is a human rights abuser across the board in one way or another. But the point is to get everybody together and talk about these issues and try to create some momentum to doing something about human rights abuses in the world.
And very good trans news this week, Rachel Levine.
Yeah.
The out-trans U.S. Assistant Secretary of Health was sworn in yesterday, Tuesday, as a four-star admiral in the Public Health Service. It's a 6,000-person force that responds to public health crises on behalf of the federal government. It includes administering vaccines for COVID, delivering care after hurricanes. She said the position is not just symbolic and that she will take a leadership role in shaping the nation's public health priorities. She will wear that service's blue uniform. There you see her. The U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy, is also a vice admiral. The Biden administration noted it is LGBTQ History Month, folks, and this appointment is part of our commitment to equality.
Surgeon generals have often worn uniform. I think
they do wear it.
She looks great in that uniform. I think that is a terrific decision on her part to decide to wear that uniform on a regular basis.
And speaking of administration officials, there's been a mini flap over Pete Buttigieg taking paternity leave after the birth of his kids. Right-wing heads exploded. But he's setting a good example. These same critics don't go after Trump for 460 days of golf leave.
I can't even call it a flap. It's just insane opportunism. But in more real terms around the military and administrations, we've heard a lot this week about Colin Powell and his passing. Former head of the
Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Thank you. Chair of the Joint
Chiefs of Staff. National Security Council.
Secretary of State. And he died this week. He died of COVID complications, multiple myeloma. I went to a memorial yesterday for a friend who died a year and a half ago, had been battling multiple myeloma for years, got COVID, and that was it. He could not go on. So I know how real this is. So everyone has been slobbering all over Colin Powell as this great hero and example to everyone. Now, look, he battled long and hard from a very poor childhood and overcame a lot and reached very high office as the first black man to do so. I give him all of that and admire him for that. But he showed a lot of poor judgment in his positions of power.
Well, they did. You know, they did talk about his complicity in the Iraq disaster. He made the presentation spewing the lies of the administration. He was supposedly skeptical about all this, but they put him out front and he did it instead of quitting.
Yeah. Now, so what? So what? He opposed the Iraq war. He sat in the United Nations and repeated what the administration was lying about Iraq having weapons of mass destruction.
And a lot of Democrats voted for it, including Hillary Clinton.
I don't appreciate that either.
Exactly.
But if you're in that position and you are opposed to the policy, I think you have a responsibility to say so.
Well, and then the commentators say, oh, we took responsibility. He said he was wrong. But what were the consequences for those war crimes?
Tens of thousands of deaths. And the thing that continues to astonish me over the years about everybody is this business of, oh, I was wrong. I wish I hadn't done that. What about all the millions of people who were telling him at the time, you are wrong? This is a lie.
There were marches across the world, demonstrations.
And yet, 10 years later, they say, oh, I was wrong. Well, you had plenty of opportunity to know it and say it at the time, and yet you were more concerned about your position of power than about those lives, than about telling the truth, any of that.
And then on our issues, he was still the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff when the Clinton administration started. Clinton kept him on. And, of course, we were pressing at the beginning of the Clinton administration, fulfill your promise, get rid of the ban on gays in the military. So Powell was one of among all the Joint Chiefs were pushing back on this. And Powell was, you know, saying, you can't compare it to race, which is a benign characteristic, while sexuality is different. And Al Gore was the vice president. And he asked him if he believed homosexuality was genetic. And Powell said he didn't know. And Clinton said he believed his gay friend should be able to serve. But Clinton also did not stand up to him and show who the commander in chief was. Now, there were people who said, well, the Congress was going to vote to ban it anyway, and Clinton had to go along. No, I mean, you say it's unconstitutional, and you do the right thing.
I also read something about Powell that was also extremely disturbing. One of the things that people have been saying to him about was, he served in Vietnam. Well, full disclosure, I don't think anybody should have served in Vietnam. I think everybody should have refused to go. I have no appreciation for people having served in Vietnam. It was a horrible, horrible, unnecessary
genocidal
war. So here's the story about Colin Powell. He's over there serving, and he's asked to evaluate a report on the My Lai massacre, where U.S. soldiers went into a Vietnamese village and just slaughtered everybody in the village, just slaughtered them for no reason at all. And it became a huge, huge scandal eventually. And Lieutenant Calley was prosecuted for it. It was one of the most horrible scandals of the war. So it turns out Colin Powell, according to this story, was asked to investigate the first reports of this massacre. And his evaluation was, oh, no, this couldn't possibly have happened. The U.S. soldiers have much too good relations with the Vietnamese to think that this could have happened. And that was the end of it for him.
Well, during his first tour of duty, he said he came to embrace the war as a good cause. So anyway, look, we did kind of like it when he started endorsing Democrats over Republicans. I'm just saying it gave off a little of a warm glow for that because, eventually.
When he was out of office, when of he course. No longer had a position of power to defend.
I'm not defending him. Okay.
I'm not attacking you. I'm simply explaining why that is not sufficient.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
Go ahead. Come after me.
No. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, you
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the viewers.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, all right. Moving on. Where did I want to go? Sad, of course, every week, murders of trans people. First on our list this week, from Seattle, Washington, trans woman, Zoe Martinez, 20 years old, shot dead, a month ago, by a man who stole her money, robbed her, and boom, just killed her.
And then in Miami Gardens, Florida, a black trans woman, Royal Poetical Stars, was gunned down in broad daylight and killed on October 2nd. Police had originally ID'd her as a black male, so it took a while for this to come out.
Shot 21 times. She had a business degree from Florida Career College and was, you know, had a full life ahead of her and gone.
Similarly, in Jackson, Mississippi, black trans man Mel Groves, 25 years old, was fatally shot on October 11th. He was a plant soil scientist at Alcorn State University, active member of Knights and Orchid Society, a southern-centered grassroots startup founded and led by black LGBTQ people supporting gender justice and LGBTQ visibility. That group posted that Groves feared for his life as a black trans man in Jackson. And Jackson, by the way, itself is a relatively progressive city in Mississippi. There were 44 killings of trans and gender nonconforming people recorded last year. We're up to 40 so far this year.
And again, those are just the recorded ones. Mel Groves was shot, managed to get himself in his car and drive to a nearby hospital, University of Mississippi Medical Center, but collapsed in the parking lot and died before medical personnel who were trying to help him would save his life.
A really horrible story out of Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. A police officer, Yvonne Wu, 31 years old, allegedly shot and wounded her ex-girlfriend, Jenny Lee, 24, and shot and killed Lee's new girlfriend, Jamie Liang, at Lee's home on October 13th. One of the victims called 911, and Wu could be heard in the background screaming, "I told you not to mess with me. This is what you get." Well, when the cops arrived, Wu was standing outside Lee's home waiting to be arrested. Wu was off duty at the time. She had been rated highly by the department. She confessed to the crimes. She had been together with Lee for 2 years, but they broke up about a month ago.
And one lesson I take from this is about guns and the availability of guns, whether with police officers or others.
And domestic violence situations.
And domestic violence. We also saw this week that the killer at Parkland High School in Florida from the 2018 murders there has now pled guilty and is awaiting sentence. He also, he killed...
Still faces the death penalty despite the plea.
Yes, and his lawyer says that by pleading guilty and getting past that phase and not fighting any charges, that he's hoping to humanize him and maybe get past the death penalty. And he's been in prison and he attacked a prison guard. I saw the young man who's been the leader of the Parkland protests for years.
David Hogg?
Yes, and he was asked about, you know, what do you think about the death penalty? And he said, you know, I really wish that we could spend less time talking about that and a lot more time talking about what we're going to do about guns in school and the dangers that still exist for students. And our interest in this comes out of the leadership taken by a lot of LGBTQ students around this issue and the formation of Gays Against Guns as a result of this horrible tragedy and massacre.
All right. Remember Jussie Smollett? Well, his case is not over 3 years after the Empire Star was accused of faking a hate crime against him. A judge dismissed a motion this week to have the case thrown out. A special prosecutor has been pursuing Smollett since 2020, charging him with 6 new counts of disorderly conduct.
Look, I don't know what happened there. I think they're piling on him quite a bit. I wish they'd get past that. The Trevor Project, which is the national hotline, particularly focused on suicide, but I think more generally too, they put out a report saying more than half of middle and high school LGBT students report being bullied in the last year.
There's
a lot of this going on.
It's not just bullying in prison. There's a lot of death in the Rikers Island. So Governor, which is the jail where the detainees are held in New York. So Governor Hochul and Mayor de Blasio announced that women and transgender people would be moved from that deadly jail to state facilities 40 miles north of the city. That might provide more access to medical care, but it also makes it much more difficult to transport the detainees to trials and court dates and to meet with their lawyers and their families. A legal aid lawyer said workers in state facilities don't even have the same training in LGBTQ issues and gender-affirming care that city officials have.
Yeah, it's. I think it's confusing there. I think there are both bad and good parts to this. But to know that some of the women will be going to Bedford Hills, which has been progressive about some of their programs, it's hard to imagine that's worse than Rikers. But but yes, access to lawyers really reduced. There is some progressive stuff going on in Rikers. And as one of the lawyers said, there is progressive stuff going on at Rikers. Why don't they move the men? They're the ones who are causing the trouble and in trouble, and they're the ones who should be moved with greater priority. In back to Texas, they've been putting on trial 4 men who were luring gay men on Grindr and then robbing them, kidnapping them, carjacking them, robbing them at gunpoint, abusing them sexually, homophobic hate speech. Well, they finally gotten to the 4th of these 4 men and sentenced him. So now they've locked them all up. And Grindr's statement was, people ought to be careful using Grindr. And by the way, not only be careful and meet in public places and all of that, but don't take your ATM card when you are meeting a date on Grindr. Don't take your identifying materials.
The best advice for meeting someone you don't know is to meet them in a neutral place where other people can see them with you. This is the biggest advice. Don't just invite them over to the house,
and introduce them to people. So.
Exactly. Someone. So it'll put them off of committing crimes against you.
Yeah.
All right. MasterCard has a new policy regulating adult content that the ACLU says is making it harder for sex workers to do business online and makes them more vulnerable since their safety and livelihoods depend on access to financial services and online platforms, especially trans women of color. PayPal and Venmo are also booting sex workers off their platforms. So ACLU is remonstrating about this.
In Spokane, Washington, a trans student, 13 years old, Ian Ring at Salk Middle School, was beaten up by his fellow students. The parents have filed assault charges, and the school, of course, was inadequate in responding to this.
Right.
In Greenberg, New York, which is in Westchester County, a police officer, Kristen Stein, who was out about being bisexual, has a girlfriend, but self-identifies as bisexual publicly, is being harassed by her fellow cops at roll call.
Sexually harassed.
Well, she's at roll call one day, and some guy, cop, standing behind her, thrusts his pelvis into her rear end, knocking her over.
That's what the other cops were doing.
Yeah. So she has filed a suit for sexual harassment and says it's just a nightmare the way they are treating her. This is cop-to-cop treatment.
Have you got some more bad news before I get to some good news?
Yes, I do. In Paso Robles, California, in the high school there, a science teacher had a rainbow flag up in his classroom. So some of the students grabbed it, ran out of his classroom. He was chasing them. They got away. They videotaped themselves defecating on it and flushing it down a toilet. And the school's response was, hang smaller flags. The students are protesting, sending messages of love. But this is...
There's a lot of homophobia out there that we're still fighting, folks. And we appreciate all your efforts, wherever you are, in doing so.
And a postscript to the big story last week about the Las Vegas Raiders coach, John Gruden, who resigned after his years of homophobic, misogynist, racist messages were revealed. The Raiders, under a new coach, went on to win their game last weekend after Carl Nassib, in the midst of all that, took a personal day to sort of gather his thoughts and his mental health.
Well, it has been said that Carl Nassib was a lot less of a distraction than that homophobic, racist coach.
Absolutely. But I'm glad he took that personal day. I'm glad they let him do that with no question. I'm glad they're supporting him. And I'm glad the Raiders went on to win after the supposedly legendary coach left.
Big celebration in Philadelphia. They dedicated a historic marker outside where the Philadelphia Gay News was founded. They have a picture of this in 1976. That's publisher Mark Siegel there hugging the pole that's holding up this marker at the center of the photograph.
And a big celebration in Chicago, where the WNBA team Chicago Sky won the WNBA championship as a real underdog. They have three out players on that team, to which I say only three.
Candace Parker, lesbian couple, Courtney Vandersloot and Allie Quigley. The MVP, though, was Kalia Copper. We should mention that.
And we skipped over another celebration for Monica Roberts, the late Monica Roberts, creator and author of the Trans Griot blog, legendary. She has posthumously been inducted into the Hall of Fame by the National Association of Black Journalists.
Can you only be inducted after you're dead?
Sure, why not?
Can you?
I don't know. They're actually doing the ceremony on December 4th, a highly deserved honor. And
please,
and be clear, this is not an LGBT organization. This is the National Association of Black Journalists honoring a trans journalist.
A real trailblazer, Monica. You know, one of the reasons we were able to talk about trans people who get killed every week is because she did so much to bring our attention to it when no one else was doing that.
Exactly. And a nice bit of news from New York City, where the city and the Allie Forney Center for homeless LGBT youth are rebooting a jobs and education program for 90 kids. 90% of their kids lost jobs in the COVID epidemic. And this program that was supposed to take place got shortcutted by that, but they're recommitting and restarting, and that'll be a good, substantial program.
And the New York City Board of Health has resolved that Racism is a public health crisis. Well, you could add sexism and homophobia as well and take action in that regard and collect the necessary statistics.
I'm sure the right wing will go after that analysis.
Oh, I'm glad we got Thomas Jefferson out of the city council chamber.
Yes.
Some pushback from some of my UVA friends. I mean, while they acknowledge his problems, that thing should never have been there. What does he have to do with New York? It's a majority council of people of color. I mean, to have that statue hovering over, it's ridiculous.
Well, congratulations to Morgantown, West Virginia, which has become the second city in West Virginia to ban conversion therapy for minors. I wonder what Joe Manchin thinks of that.
Oklahoma, the ACLU says the state law against teaching critical race theory violates the First and 14th Amendments and denies people of color, LGBTQ students, and girls the chance to learn their history. The law took effect in May. The sponsors say no tax money can be used to define and divide young Oklahomans about their race or sex when the real intent is to enshrine white male supremacy. They want no discussion of systemic racism, intersectionality. Do they even know what that is?
I think the right wing is the anti-big words coalition.
And then in Minneapolis, they have a digital surveillance program in the schools that's flagging LGBTQ content as pornographic. The program is called Gaggle. So it's in a lot of places, and it monitors everything on a student's computer. It's having a very negative effect on LGBTQ students. Administrators call parents when their material is flagged. So they're exposing some of these kids as LGBTQ when they're not ready for that.
Come on, Minneapolis. It's my
anybody using Gaggle.
Get rid of it. All right, international news.
Yep.
Well, I am just thrilled to death this week to see that a congressional panel in Brazil has recommended that President Bolsonaro should be prosecuted for crimes against humanity for his treatment of the COVID epidemic, where he decided he was going to create herd immunity by letting everyone in the country die.
He said, if you take the vaccine, it's going to turn you into an alligator. He literally said that. And people started showing up in alligator costumes to get their shots. Lego in Denmark says they're going to remove gender bias from their toys.
In Russia, they have this new RuPaul Drag Race ripoff called Royal Cobras. I think this is only online. I don't think it's on TV, but I'm not sure. But what they did not transfer from Drag Race is any mention of LGBT issues. The creator is a straight woman. She's made herself the focus of the show.
Well, you wanted disclaimers, and they run one. This program is not aimed at forming non-traditional sexual attitudes.
All right. Well, here's a disclaimer. Do not believe everything you hear on Gay USA.
Well, yes, it's true. I foolishly talked about Sally Ride, who's now going to be on our quarters next year, honoring women. As the first woman in space. Of course she wasn't. It was Valentina Tereshkova. There she is in 1962.
So I thought it was 63, but whatever.
Maybe.
She's alive. She's 84 years old, and she's serving in the Duma, which is the Russian parliament, and she's a big pal of Vladimir Putin.
Well, any pal of Putin is no friend of mine.
Exactly. But right. We're sorry for the error.
Sorry.
We make mistakes.
Well, I was being
We try to correct them when they're pointed out.
I was being U.S.-centric. That's wrong.
But
in Namibia, we have a picture here of a couple with their lawyer. The court ruled that the son of a gay couple is a Namibian citizen by descent. It's a breakthrough for gay couples. A Namibian citizen, Philip Luhl, and his Mexican husband, Guillermo Delgado, had a son via surrogacy in South Africa, and now they're a family.
And they have two other kids who will also profit from this decision and be Namibian citizens, as they all should be. So
a terrible story out of Jamaica. An 18-year-old man was lured to a date. Another one of these stories was met by three men who beat and robbed him and set him ablaze in Montego Bay, cut off part of his penis, left him in critical condition. He managed to make it to a checkpoint, was assisted getting to the hospital. There was a similar crime in 2020 that left Ali Jackson, 43, dead. Two were later charged in his murder, but no arrests in this case.
I have to ask, what is it that causes such violence by men against LGBT people? You know, is the male ego so fragile that...
When the preachers and the government and everybody is saying these are the people who are wrecking society, who are the evildoers, who want to make your kid gays and they're going to go to hell, that gets people all crazy.
I agree. I understand, but I would hope that people could see past that.
But I also agree with you. It's not just about religion and God. It's about something in men.
It is, because who's committing these murders? Who's committing this violence? You don't see a lot of women. Occasionally there's a woman involved, but mostly men. In Kuwait, a trans woman was convicted of imitating the opposite sex, in other words, being trans. 2 years in prison, a $3,300 fine for misusing phone communications, which in this case amounted to online posts. She's in prison for 2 years for being trans.
In solitary, in a men's prison.
That happens here, too.
And the police have abused her after she's been arrested multiple times.
Happens here also.
He's got an appeal, though, set for October 31st. That's Maha al-Mutairi, 40 years old.
MTV Europe has decided to go ahead and hold its music awards in Hungary on November 14th.
Yuck!
They were going to move them, and then they say they were convinced that it would make more of an impact if they went ahead and held them there, that it would challenge the no promo homo.
Like having the World Cup in Qatar, you know. I mean, yeah. People say, oh, well, maybe it'll move things along for 5 seconds, and then they'll go back.
Yeah, I mean, haven't you seen how Russia has been transformed by the Olympics in Sochi?
Yeah, we protested that quite a bit. In India, though, they're making some progress. The National Medical Commission ordered medical schools and publishers to edit textbooks and curricula to exclude discriminatory and unscientific portrayals of LGBTQI people. This year, the Madras High Court ordered institutions across India to roll back prejudicial portrayals.
All right. AIDS news.
Well, I mean, I had a couple of other things.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the Nepal census and the New Zealand census are going to, Nepal's going to include a third gender item for the first time. New Zealand's going to survey people about gender and sexual orientation and intersex status. So this is all progress there. Botswana, by the way, has appealed a ruling allowing gay sex in 2019. Gay sex has been punishable for up to 7 years in prison. And the government says the law should be up to Parliament, and activists say, we need the judges because the government's never going to do it. And I also, you know, we talk about the horrible things that are going on in Afghanistan to gay people. There's a lot of terrible stuff in Venezuela as well, and people are leaving in droves for Colombia, especially people with HIV.
Yeah. Well, and especially people who can't eat because there's no food in Venezuela.
5 million people have left Venezuela over what's going on there.
Yeah. All right. In Canada and England, there are a couple of pilot programs going on about gay men donating blood. They're seeing how it works if they get rid of these, you know, a year or 3 months or whatever limitations on when you could have last had intercourse before being allowed to donate blood. And they're saying, all right, let's wipe out these arbitrary guidelines. Let's try a different system where we actually ask people about their behavior, all people, and see if we can screen blood donations that way, which, of course, is exactly what should have been happening all along. So they're going to try this in a couple of places in Canada and the UK, and we'll see how that goes.
Peter Staley is making the rounds with his new memoir, Never Silent, Act Up and My Life in Activism. We have a picture of the book. Anne interviewed him for Greenlight Bookstore, and we will link to that in our email. He also had a dust-up with Sarah Schulman, the author of Act Up, the Act Up Oral History, Let the Record Show. You were there for that, Anne.
I was. You know, Peter, for some reason, thought it would be clever to have Sarah interview him at the Strand Bookstore, the Battle of the Bands. But it turned into a really unpleasant little battle, and not much was accomplished.
And as long as we're promoting our personal appearances, there's a First Amendment museum in Maine, and their manager of visitor experiences, Maxwell Nusbitch, interviewed me for one of their one-on-one sessions that they do. They wanted a gay, I guess. And we'll link to that five-minute video.
And in the interview I did with Peter, the best part is the first 15 or 20 minutes where he reads from the book about the action that he and some colleagues did of breaking into Burroughs Welcome's headquarters in North Carolina and chaining themselves into an office to demand a lowering of the price of AZT. It's very dramatic and amusing.
Since I had read that section, I skipped over it and just listened to your questions.
And No, the dramatic reading is very good. That's what I recommend.
Okay.
Anyway, speaking of entertaining, let's move. I have to say the most entertaining thing I saw this week was Bo and Yang on Saturday Night Live, in a skit about bugs, all of which was set up so he could play Daddy Long Legs.
Well, it was a skit about students at a middle school, I think it was, dressed as bugs. I'm Daddy Long Legs, and what does Daddy Long Legs eat? Boys, boys, boys.
And how does Daddy Long Legs get boys? I slam my credit card down and say, Daddy's got it.
Well, he was in fierce diva mode. He uses the B word a bit much for my taste. He also played a gay Oompa Loompa on Weekend Update, though he claims he could they spilled the beans about him being gay. But anyway,
I was not I did not find that appealing. But the Daddy Long Legs skit was a classic that
you can find it online.
Yeah. He vogues a lot as Daddy Longlegs.
Let's go back to Daniel Craig, the James Bond star. He said in an interview in the old days, maybe now, he goes to gay bars to avoid getting into fist fights at non-gay bars. And now, if you've ever been to Britain, people can get pretty drunk and things can get out of hand. I guess that can happen everywhere, but they have quite the alcohol culture. He says he dislikes the aggression of hetero spaces and that gay bars were also a good place to meet women. Not lesbians, but women who were with their gay, straight women who were with their gay friends. He's now married to Rachel Weisz.
He appreciates the lack of toxic masculinity, but all this came up because he was seen kissing a man in a gay bar.
Yeah.
He's not just hanging out.
And he said that was him. This was a friend. We're affectionate with each other. I mean, I'm not, whatever.
He did not seem
defensive to me.
No, not at all. And I wish he'd been questioned a little more closely about whether he defines as bisexual, because this was not a peck on the cheek. This was serious, deep kissing.
When's James When's James Bond going to get a guy?
When James Bond is a woman, which evidently happens in the new movie.
Rupert Everett wanted that role badly, but they passed over him.
All right. Well, speaking of dust-ups, Billy Porter, go.
Well, Harry Styles had done fashion shoots for Vogue in dresses, and Billy Porter... Billy personally changed the whole game on men in dresses. He said Styles Harry Styles, is just doing it because it's the thing to do. This is politics, Billy said. This is my life. I had to fight my entire life to get to the place where I could wear a dress to the Oscars and not be gunned down. And all he has to do, Styles, is be white and straight.
And young.
Well, look, I mean, look, men have been putting on frocks for a long time. So, but and Billy certainly has brought it to a new level.
He has, and he looks fabulous. And he has, you know, he's getting plenty of attention for it. I don't think he should be too upset that he didn't get the Vogue cover. But
even Michael Musto took him on about this one because he, you know, talked about the history of a lot of, men, David Bowie, yeah, others.
I think age had a lot to do with Harry Styles getting it.
Congratulations to Lance Bass and husband Michael Turchin. They've welcomed their first children, twins, Violet, Betty, and Alexander James, born by a surrogate a minute apart.
Congratulations to JoJo Siwa, who in this week's edition of Keeping Up with Dancing with the Stars, we learned, got the first perfect score of this season, four tens. Their routine was described as perfection, although I have to say I still preferred the tango they did a couple of weeks ago, but they're solidly in the running on Dancing with the Stars.
We've previewed this before, but Marvel Studios, their movie Eternals, had its Hollywood premiere this week. And it's the first from Marvel that has a gay superhero, Phastos, P-H-A-S-T-O-S, played by Brian Tyree Henry. And he's got a husband, a gay actor, Haz Slimane. They are both actors of color.
Reminder, as we told you last week, American Ballet Theater is doing a couple of Pride Nights next week, October 27th and 30th, with a male pas de deux. They will also have a special guest appearance by Lipsynka and a post-performance panel discussion. And this week, in honor of Andy's birthday, Chris Cooper and I went to the Metropolitan Opera to see Fire Shut Up in My Bones, the opera based on Charles Blow's autobiography. I have to say we were disappointed. We found it a little tedious and the music not as thrilling as we wanted it to be. I was glad we went because I'd wanted to see it so much that I would have felt I was missing something if I didn't go. But in the end, we were not thrilled.
Well, I'm going back to the theater for the first time on Friday, and then I'm going with you on Tuesday to see the reality winner play. So wish us luck.
And coming up in November, we'll tell you more as we go along, DocNYC.net, the New York City Documentary Festival with hundreds of movies, including a lot of LGBT. If you go to DocNYC.net, you can start looking at the whole lineup.
It's LGBTQ History Month. Check out our website, gayusatv.org. Sign up for our email so you get these links and maybe give us a little support. Thank you.
Join us next week. See you then.
Bye.